Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Thank you to all of you who subscribed last week and who are still subscribing even as we speak. We appreciate that very much. You will join a list of the throng of thousands of people who receive our newsletter every Sunday in the afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And if you can't wait till Sunday to get something from us, we actually have a blog that you can subscribe to, and we'll send it to you by really simple syndication. That technology, by the way, is free, and you can find it at the blog. And you can find the blog on our homepage, or you can go to jimsblog.biz. Michael Staver is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's the CEO of the Staver Group, and he and his organization provide keynote presentations and consulting programs and workshops and executive. He is the author of a little booklet I'm holding in my hand, Leadership Isn't for Cowards, How to Lead Courageously in a Turbulent Age. Mike Staver, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here. Appreciate you having me.
It's good to have you here. I really am glad, Mike, that you talked about courage, because this is a topic that I like to talk about. I've been talking about it for a long time. I was talking about it. I was observing it and seeing how interesting it was to observe not just courage, but the lack of courage often over the decades that I've been in the marketplace. That was the one thing that I thought was the most remarkable as I managers, Mike, was either their courage or their lack of courage. And it's interesting to observe that, isn't it?
It is interesting. And I think what's equally as interesting is how, when you really hone in on it, how obvious it is. You know, I tell people often, if you will listen to a song, listen to your favorite song, pick out one instrument in that song and focus your attention on it, how loudly you will start to hear that instrument. I think courage or lack of it is the same thing.
Well, what do you think, what do you see today when you look around and you talk to a lot of people, you meet a lot of leaders, a lot of so-called leaders, let me put it this way.
Right.
They're filling a leadership position, I'll put it that way.
That's right.
The jury's out on them as of right now. As you look around, do you see more courage or more lack of courage?
Overall, I see people who are longing more to understand what that courage really looks like. You know, in some contexts, we've legislated away some courageous acts because there have been so many cowardly acts created by senior leaders, particularly in publicly held organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly see a longing for leadership to understand the concept and how it actually applies. And particularly in the world I'm in, relative to the coaching and work that we're doing, I'm really helping people align their heartbeat the organization's heartbeat with their heartbeat. And I think I see more of a yearning for it, but at the same time, more of an anxiety to step out and really do the things that courageous people do.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is that the people who are being led are yearning for courage from the people who are leading them, but you're not from those leaders.
There's no question. And I say to people all the time, people follow people. That's who they follow. And they yearn to follow people. You know, Martin Luther King did not get up in the mall in Washington and say, I have a hunch. That's not what he did. He was on purpose. He was on message. He stood boldly with actually very little authority. He was courageous enough to stand in the face of a tide that was going in a negative direction.
You know, one of the places where we ought to be able to see some leadership, seems to be evaporating day by day, is in Washington, D.C.
That's true.
There's such a lack of leadership. There's such a dearth of leadership. And when I think of people who are leaders and who are courageous leaders, Mike, I think of people who are going to say what they think, they're going to behave as they think they should, even though it won't be popular.
Yep.
And also, people who are not predictable, to me, that's somebody who is probably courageous, because if they're totally predictable, totally transparent, then, you know, courage doesn't know how it's going to behave tomorrow.
That's right.
Does it?
That's right, because courage has to. Courage manifests itself in the face of circumstances, and most of our circumstances come to us, at least to a significant number, without our awareness that they're coming. And I think courage is as much a mindset or a place of being as it is activity. I mean, you've got to act correctly, but you've got to be courageous in your heart and develop those skills throughout your lifetime. And a lot of people, I think, look at courage as some bullying thing. Like, if you point on Washington, I think one of the most courageous things a human being can do is own their own stuff, to take responsibility for their choices and their mistakes.
Right.
But how hard is it for people? I mean, the news, and it's almost like watching someone get their teeth pulled to listen to someone go, I messed up.
Yeah. No, and you're exactly right. And we need to see more of that. Now, one of the things that I see is I see a lot of courage in small business. When I look at, when I see small business owners, I see a lot of courage, but I see people who probably could be more courageous if they had a little better understanding, if they stopped for a moment and dwelled on this thing of courage. And you've done that. You actually have a little outline that I think will help them. Will you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I think that what happens with people is that there's often a gap. Often when I speak across North America, I say, you know, there's a gap between what we intend to do and what we actually do. And the gap, and how you close that gap, some process of self-discipline, but certainly through the process of our choices. And I was thinking some years ago, what could I give people all the time to be able to walk away and have some steps to be able to apply it. I took the letters in the word attack because I think courage is an offensive strategy, not a defensive strategy. And I said, I think what you really need to do is you need to use the letters in the word attack, and the first step is accepting your current circumstances as they actually are. And that doesn't mean liking them, Jim. It means I look reality in the face and I boldly accept the fact that that is what it is. And, you know, my background's in psychology. I ran a psychiatric hospital in California, which I know a lot of. I think that's redundant. Psychiatric hospital, California. But people that don't accept. This,
and by the way, that clears up a lot of stuff for you, for me too, by the way, Mike. I know that about you.
Yeah, that helps us. That answers a lot of questions.
That answers a lot of questions. Yeah, cool. Now go ahead.
That's what my mom said. Acceptance is being able to embrace reality without necessarily liking reality. And I think that's really important for
Say that again.
It's about embracing reality without necessarily liking reality.
Yeah, that's what leaders do. That's what courageous people do.
That's right.
We're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. Right back with our new friend, Mike Staver, the author of Leadership Isn't for Cowards. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Mike Staver. Michael Staver, S-T-A-V-E-R is the name on the book. Leadership Isn't for Cowards. It's a booklet. It's a small one, but it's power-packed with good information about that will help you understand the concept of courage. And Mike, tell us how we can get it, please.
If you'll go to www.thestavergroup.com. Make sure you put the Staver Group or you end up with a roofing contractor in Ohio. If you put thestavergroup.com, there's a free download PDF, or you can email us at thestavergroup.com and we'll send you a free hard copy of that.
This book is free? You're giving this
free.
Away?
How about that? Who said there was nothing?
Only for my audience, though, right? Because you just do this just for my audience because we're so special.
It's a Blasting Game special.
Exactly. So, folks, be sure to do that. I've got the book in front of me, and I know sometimes you think free things aren't worth anything. This is a gift. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Folks, go to thestavergroup.com and download this in PDF, or they'll send it to you if you email them. It's worth the time and the effort, folks, I promise you. Okay, let's talk about your ideas on how we can develop some courage.
So we said you have to accept your circumstances, but once you accept your circumstances, the most courageous thing you can do is take responsibility. And we have you talk about a dearth of leadership. I think we have a dangerous gap in our culture today of people who want to focus their energy elsewhere.
Yep.
And blame. I mean, you know, when you're suing McDonald's because the coffee's hot, Seems unbelievable to me.
Or because they sold you French fries and you got fat.
Yeah, what is up with that? And I tell you, this is true, Jim. It was in a mall the other day, and I saw a couple pushing a stroller. On the back of the stroller, it said, "Warning, do not fold stroller with baby inside."
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's exactly right. You got stuff everywhere you go. There are these little placards stuck all over the place that clutter up your life. You know, Mike, I'm going to repeat something my audience has heard me say before. I was trained as an officer in the Army, in the infantry, and the one thing that that I'll never forget that they taught us, and that is that we are responsible for whatever my unit does. I am responsible for whatever my unit does or fails to do.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. I mean, those short words, and that was our code of conduct, you know, and failed, it was our responsibility. If we succeeded, you know, then it was something that we contributed to.
And I will tell you that if we could teach our children and our employees and forget about all that and accept as leaders responsibility, we'd be really successful. But to accept responsibility and not take action, which is the third step, you got to take action, right? I accept my circumstances. I take responsibility. I take action. But then we need to create a culture of celebration. I think we're such a fast-paced, hard-driving culture. You know, the New York Times has more information in it on Sunday than the average person got
right.
in their entire lifetime
exactly.
in the 1700s.
Yeah.
But then we've got to acknowledge progress, which is the A in the word attack, and then we've got to commit to new habits all the time of lifelong learning. You know, Jim, one of the great things about what you do is really help people be hungry for learning, and entrepreneurs are so busy, and leaders are so busy. They don't take time to learn. And then finally, kindle new relationships. K in the word attack is kindle. And kindle means to give new life to. Isn't that a great definition?
Yeah.
To give new life to. And I think those are really the six keys to really being able to develop courage. At least it's a start for most folks.
Well, and another thing that I think that I don't know where it would fit in your list of your acronym here, but there's another thing that I think that we should do, and that is to not fear failure.
That's right.
If you don't fear failure, you're going to be more likely to be courageous, I think, because
exactly.
And if you have the perspective that failure I think I'm paraphrasing. I found something that Edison, Thomas Edison, had said. I told you that I didn't know who said these words in the past. I've used this, but I think it was Thomas Edison, and I'm paraphrasing him. So here's what he said: failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a great
and
quote.
And so if you have that attitude, don't you think that would foster more courage if we didn't fear failure and we realized that and something I've written in the past and talked about, Michael, is failure is the harness made of success. You can't really have real success without some failure.
That's exactly right. Well, look at the way we learn to walk. I mean, imagine if a baby was afraid of failure. They'd never learn to walk.
Yeah.
I mean, a baby, by definition, is the greatest model. They fall down flat on their face, and they look around, and the whole culture supports them. Yay, good job. And they get up and will keep walking.
Exactly.
You don't see babies rolling over their back going, "That's it. I went to a seminar.
That's right.
I'm walking. I'm not doing any more walking."
That's right. Now, give me those training wheels right now.
That's right. I'm just not a walker. I thought I was, but I'm not.
Another thing that I think will help our people have courage, and I'd like your thoughts on this, is if when people make a mistake, and I'm not talking about something that they shouldn't have made, something that they
right.
knew not to make. I'm talking about they took initiative, they took a risk, and it didn't work out. If instead of, you know, beating them up or firing them or whatever, if we learn to say, what did we learn?
That's right.
Don't you think that will help foster courage?
Exactly. I was on the phone yesterday morning with somebody, a client that I coach, and she said, "I got to get rid of this salesperson." I said, "Why?" They said they wrote $10 million worth of proposals last year and only closed $1 million. There's something wrong with them. I said, wait. I said, I'd pay a lot of money to have somebody in my organization that could go find $10 million worth of
people to talk to, yeah.
I said, why don't you make them a prospector and a proposal writer and get somebody else to close it? Don't
exactly.
fire somebody because they're not winning all the time.
Well said.
You know what that is, Jim? That's job security for guys like you.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, give us your website again, please.
It's www.thestaver.com.
And you help people to accomplish some of the things we've been talking about, don't you?
That's what I do, personally
and, also,
and organizationally.
Don't forget to download the book, folks, Leadership Isn't for Cowards. Mike, will you come back another day?
I would love to do that. Thanks
for
having me.
We'll have you back.
Thank
and here's
you.
Your song, Mike. 29 After, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we'll be right back with Eva Rosenberg. Stay with us.
Why don't you come to your senses?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.